This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
We better get outdoors. Steve Carney joining us, stevecarneyoutdoors.com. And Steve, the ice conditions were great, and then they weren't. They've really deteriorated a ton, haven't they?
Yeah, things are changing, Steve. It's been a kind of a weird week. We've had, you know, up and down temperatures, and right now, you know, we still have a ton of ice. That's what's so strange. We have 26, 27, 28 inches of ice. The ice is really good, and it's going to be around for a while, but the problem is the accesses. They've been really beat up a lot, especially with people taking big wheelhouses off with one-ton trucks, and they've really, you know, done a job on those accesses. So the problem is kind of getting through the access and getting onto the lake. So it depends on the lake that you're on. Chances are, you know, there's going to be a lot of ruts and standing water there, so you're going to have to be very careful on which lake you go on. Some you can get on and some you can't. But it's very typical for this time of March when you've got those accesses, you know, and there's a lot of the concrete ramps, too, that have been damaged and pushed up from the ice. And so the access is really the issue right now. But we still have a ton of ice, and I think we're going to have a ton of ice until probably the walleye opener. We might even be ice fishing on May 12th.
Yeah, can you imagine if it hangs in there like that? But, you know, over the years, in doing this show, we've made predictions when we've had, like a year ago, we had a super mild winter, hardly any winter at all, and the weather wasn't, and water temps didn't really take a huge jump by the opener because we kind of had a cool, crummy spring, if memory serves. You just never know.
No, you don't, and, you know, it looks like the temperatures are going to moderate, and we're kind of done with the cold stuff. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this goes. I just don't remember this much ice, yeah, you know, into March being as thick as it is. But, you know, ice fishing is not over. I mean, some of the best ice fishing can be in March. It's just, you know, the accessibility is the issue. Can you get to where you want to go? I saw a lot of four-wheelers out today running around, and we're going to be back to walking out, you know, with ice cleats and four-wheelers because we've lost our snow cover. But we still have good ice. So if you can't get a vehicle on some of these damaged accesses, you can still get on with a four-wheeler, you know, using common sense, obviously. And it eliminates the snowmobile because there's no snow. But it's not over yet. There could be another 3 or 4 weeks of, you know, really good ice fishing still. It's just really all about the accesses.
Yeah, and Steve, you brought up ice cleats early in the season. Particularly this year, we had that ice, no snow, just glare ice out on the water. And investing in that is huge.
Well, you know, there's a lot of ice cleats out there, and most of them are not very good. They're kind of cheap and not very well made. But you need to spend about $80 to $100 to get a really good commercial set of ice cleats. And I highly recommend going to the top of the line. It really is important, especially for durability. These cheap ice cleats, you know, that are $19 and $21 are not very good. The quality is not there. And you really want those really good stainless spikes that are on the bottom. They're really like commercial type spikes. And those, you know, will last for many years. And it's going to, you know, be $100, but you're going to have, you know, cleats that are going to be good for a good 10 years at least. And makes a really big difference.
All right. I know you and I have talked about the Missouri River, and you make the annual trip out to the Chamberlain area. Tomorrow in Chamberlain, sunny and 63. But by Tuesday, rain, snow, wind, 45 degrees. You better be on your toes if you're going to go out to the Missouri River, because if the weather's good, it might not be 6 hours later.
Well, you know, I try to get out there two or three times in the spring, and right now I know a lot of the ramps are just starting to open, which is good. The bad news is there's a lot of ice flows going on right now where ice is breaking off from the shorelines and going down the river, so you got to be very careful and go maybe half throttle when you're going up the river, because there's a lot of ice flows coming down and you don't want to hit one of those. You could take your transducer off or do damage to your lower unit. You just have to be very careful. But I'm waiting right now. My boat's being rigged right now. As soon as it's ready, I'm going. I have one tip for people that are, you know, rigging boats this spring. When you're putting your electronics on, you want to tell your person that's rigging your boats to make sure that you rig directly to your battery with your electronics. And that's really important, because instead of, you know, most of the time they'll take the easy way out and they'll rig it, you know, to your fuse box. But what you have is interference, and that's the problem. When your aerator is running, if you've got, you know, walleyes in the live well, the aerator's running, you're going to get interference on your electronics. So you want to make sure, if you're doing it yourself or you're having a rigger do it, make sure they, you know, they wire it directly to your batteries, and that eliminates all the interference. That's a really good tip for people that are, you know, just, you know, getting ready for the next season.
Yeah, it is very good advice. And once again, you talk about this every year. It's a little early for open water in this neck of the woods, but, you know, it's never too early to start getting the gear ready and getting organized.
Well, you want to do it now. You know, when we start getting into warmer weather into later April, everybody is, you know, trying to get things done, and you're waiting at the marinas and you're waiting at the, you know, dealerships to get work done. This is really the time to do it. There's not a lot going on with those guys right now. And I would suggest, you know, get on it right now and get all your service work done and, you know, plan ahead. You know, the Rainy River could open up, you know, usually the beginning of April, sometimes the end of March, you know, and then people get all revved up for that. And then we've got, you know, Red Wing with the Mississippi River going. You know, there's other options that'll be coming up, but it all depends on the temperatures. If things, you know, keep moderating, 40s and 50s, we'll probably be very much, you know, on time like we normally are. But, God, you never know. We might get a ton of snow. You know, there might be some more cold coming in to change things. You just don't know. But I do know the Missouri River is open. People are catching fish, and they have been for about 2 weeks. So the ramps just opened up in a lot of the city areas in the last couple of days. So that's kind of brand new news that just happened. And that's, you know, going to, you know, move people around a little bit, and the congestion won't be so bad. So I would suggest, yeah, the next couple of weeks could be really good out there.
Well, Steve, always good to visit with you. And once again, we could get a weather event in here. Here in the cities, they're saying maybe rain on Tuesday and then maybe snow Tuesday night into Wednesday. Still that time of year. We're not quite done with winter in these parts.
We really don't want rain, Steve. You know, if we get a bunch of rain and, you know, standing water on the ice, that's going to be a little bit of a challenge. I hope that doesn't happen, but, you know, we'll just have to see. But rain is not our friend right now. I'd rather have snow than rain.
All right, there he is, Steve Kearney. Steve Kearney Outdoors. Have a good week. We'll do it again in 1 week. There he is, Steve Kearney. And Steve Kearney Outdoors has been joining us on the weekends for a long time. And by the way, our outdoors coverage continues on Sunday at 5. Rob Dreisein from the Outdoor News has a great show, chock full of guests and great information. Rob, Outdoor News, Sunday between 5 and 6 o'clock. When we come back, the Wild struggling, not so much looking up in the standings, but looking down in the standings. Can they hang in there and stay above the playoff line in the NHL? And by the way, they made a trade with the Nashville Predators today. Who did they get? What did they give up? Jess Myers from the Pioneer Press on the way here on News Talk 830-WCCO. There is a lot going on the local sports scene today. Twins fall to the Red Sox in the Grapefruit League earlier on the radio, 8-4. Twins and Rays tomorrow at high noon, and then a built-in day off on Monday. Yeah, I know it's tough, guys, playing baseball in the sun. You need a day off. Whatever. Let's talk a little hockey. A lot going on that front. Golden Gopher women in the fight of their lives today at Ritter Arena in the second game of the WCHA playoffs. They blew out Minnesota State on Friday night 6-1, and the Mavericks had a 3-2 lead after two in that game, and they're deep in the third, tied at four. Gophers could advance in the WCHA tournament with a win today. If the Mavericks prevail, they would play a third game tomorrow. Golden Gopher men at Penn State. They got beat in overtime by the Nittany Lions last night. Jess Myers covers the Wild for the Pioneer Press and joins us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Jess, good to visit with you.
I did the math, Steve. I'm back in Minnesota for about 44 hours total, and then just got back from Utah and Colorado, a couple of losses there. The Wild have lost three in a row now. And then home game tomorrow with Boston. Then I hop on a plane again, going to Seattle, going to Vancouver. So not many road games in March, but I've got two of them right off the bat. So lots to cover, lots to talk about.
And we should point out the Wild forced out of the building this week because of state wrestling. Next week, it's this little thing called the Boys State Hockey Tournament starting on Wednesday. A well-regarded event in this neck of the woods. And then the Wild, though, beyond that, have a fair amount of home cooking coming up.
15 games in the month of March, 11 of them at home. Think about that. I mean, they've got a long home stretch here. There's one game at Dallas kind of right in the middle of all of it. Other than that, they're pretty much home for much of the month. And we've talked about it before, Steve. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because they've generally been a much better team on the road, at least in terms of their results, than they have been at home. But something's got to give here. Talking to Jared Spurgeon last night after they had a lead and it slipped away and Colorado won that game, he said, we have a system in place and we've got to play that system as close to perfect as we possibly can. So they know the pressure's on as the calendar flips to March, that teams are really starting to push for playoff spots. You've got teams like Colorado that had a terribly slow start that are kind of working their way back into things. Utah kind of in that same boat. Calgary, Vancouver, all these teams kind of pushing for those last couple spots in the Western Conference. The Wild are still in pretty good shape statistically, but it's not like they can rest on their laurels. They have to keep pushing here.
Yeah, no doubt. And right now, you look at the top, and the Winnipeg Jets, 87 points. The Wild and Colorado dead even with 72 points. Wild have a game in hand. Right now, Colorado and Vancouver would be the wild card. And really, you start looking at teams like Calgary and Utah just below the playoff line. And you're right. The Wild need to be better at home in the month of March if they're going to hang on to that playoff spot. Because it has been a struggle really coming out of the break.
Well, and we've got the trade deadline coming up, you know, March 7th on Friday, 2 o'clock, our time is the trade deadline. So now is the time when you're going to start to see a lot of stuff happening. And in fact, stuff is already happening for the Minnesota Wild. Today they went out and got Gustav Nyquist from the Nashville Predators. Now, for folks who remember, 2 years ago, end of the season, 2023, 2023, He played 3 regular season games, and then he played 6 playoff games for the Wild. He was a late addition to that roster. Did well in the playoffs for them. 6 games, I think he had 5 assists in those playoff games. Then he went and signed as a free agent with Nashville. So he was only in Minnesota briefly. But Bill Guerin obviously liked what he saw. And when you're dealing with this situation they're in now where, you know, Kirill Kaprizov is still out and we don't know when he's going to be back. Joel Eriksson Ek now is out and we don't know when he's going to be back. Ryan Hartman is out. We know when he's going to be back. He'll be back for that Seattle game coming up on Tuesday. So that'll be an important forward for them to get back. Okay, so we knew about the forwards, right? We knew about kind of the weak spots there and the injuries at forward. Just in the last 2 games, number one, last night, Zach Bogosian didn't play. First time this season, he was ruled out with an injury. So that meant John Merrill back in the lineup, and which is fine. I think Merrill's done a decent job. And then Jonas Brodin played 1 shift in the 3rd period, and we didn't see him again. He went down the tunnel. He's got some kind of injury. Here's how we know that either Brodin or Bogosian, or maybe both, could be out for a little while. Later today, after making the trade, the Wild called up David Juracek from their Iowa farm team, you know, the prized rookie that they went and spent a lot for to get earlier in the season. He was a top 6 overall draft pick of Columbus. Just didn't really pan out in Columbus. He's played a bunch of games with the Wild this year and is really growing into the job, I think. But they want him up here and they want him playing. They don't want him up here, you know, wearing a nice suit and sitting in the press box. If they want him in Minnesota, they want him playing. So the fact that they've called him up is a sign that he's going to get some minutes and probably a sign that Brodin or Bogosian or both is going to deal with something a little longer term.
Yeah, and this move, Bill Guerin picks up a guy. But once again, we hear over and over the cap situation, et cetera. The Wild are right up against it. I mean, this is, you know, they are, I hate to say, living paycheck to paycheck. But when it comes to injuries and making it work, it almost feels that way.
It absolutely does. And, I mean, they've acknowledged that. And, you know, one thing I like about Bill Guerin is you ask him about the salary cap and all this issue, these issues that people like to talk about. He really downplays it and says, you know what, we've got abilities to do some things. He's got a team of some very smart people, money-wise and hockey-wise, that he praises all the time. He's not one to take credit and saying, I'm doing this all on my own. You know, he really, really likes the team he has put together that studies the numbers, studies what they can do as far as sending guys down, moving guys around, moving money around, and they've been able to get by. You know, of course, the good news is on July 1st, finally, those huge contracts from Ryan Suter and Zach Parise are off the books, and in theory, they're going to have $14 million more dollars to spend. Now, Kirill Kaprizov is going to need to get signed at some point, and they're going to invest some of that money in players they already have. So it's not like they're going to go on a free agent spending spree necessarily, but I could see them picking up some nice talent with that extra money finally.
And I remember as that era winds down, what a big deal it was for the franchise. But I think even at the time, I can remember saying, those are long contracts and they're not going to look good at the end. And there were a lot of people saying that. And, looked good at the end.
That was the thinking. Of course, the optimists thought, yeah, they're not going to look good 12, 13 years from now, but by then we'll have 3-4 Stanley Cup banners hanging.
Yeah,
so,
that's
you know,
right.
It'll be worth the investment. You know how optimistic Minnesota sports fans are. But in all seriousness, you know, at the time, 2012, those were the 2 most prized free agents in all of hockey, and together they made the decision, hey, let's go to Minnesota. Let's do something there. This is a team we can win with. You know, it didn't pan out like people hoped. They got to the second round twice and didn't get beyond that. But, it was just a major, major moment in the history of this franchise.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a bummer the 3 or 4 cups didn't work out, you know,
that's
in
right.
retrospect. Well, I would have settled for 1, Jess.
We
get greedy 3 or 4 cups. Come on.
Yeah. Remember when the Twins won 2 World Series in 4 years and we thought, oh, well, this is easy. We can just do this anytime.
Yeah. Well, see, I was even old enough then to the youngsters, like my youngest brother. You know, this is awesome. Savor it.
Yep.
Savor it. You never know. And here we are. We've had the Lynx. Definitely a good run. The Frost, won the inaugural title.
We've had a couple of Gopher hockey national titles. We've had a couple of Bulldog hockey national titles. So we've had some championship parades in Minnesota. Just not the four biggies in a long time.
Yeah, and at the top, I brought up college hockey. Just checking that score, it's still 4-4 at Ritter. I haven't seen that game go final yet. So that's game two of the best of three weekend series of the WCHA women's hockey playoffs. Meanwhile, the men, get your thoughts on that at Penn State. Kind of a late season surge, but they get beaten overtime by the Nittany Lions last night.
Penn State started the conference season 0-8. Since that time, they have been the hottest team in college hockey. They're something like 12-1-3 in their last 15 now after winning in overtime last night. So, man, if there's a team you do not want to see come playoff time, it is the Penn State Nittany Lions, because, man, are they playing some good hockey. But that was just a great game last night. I had it on in the press box kind of off to the side when I was in Colorado. Just two really good teams with a lot of offense, a lot of talent, moving the puck back and forth. I think Jimmy Snuggard from the Gophers and Aiden Fink from the Nittany Lions might be the two best forwards in the conference. Of course, Isaac Howard from Michigan State might have something to say about that as well. But just a great hockey game, and I think we can expect more of the same tonight. And Gopher fans, all is not lost. If the Gophers win and Michigan State loses tonight, Gophers are the Big Ten champions, so it could still happen.
Yeah, and you look back to last weekend, well, that was a great series for the Golden Gophers in the sweep over Ohio State, well-regarded team. And I know, and Lindsay and I talked about it earlier in the program, that people still lament the WCHA, but there is no doubt this league, the Big Ten, has emerged. A lot of great players, a lot of terrific teams.
I got to give a shout-out to the NCHC, you know, the conference that St. Cloud and Duluth and North Dakota are in. Western Michigan claimed their first-ever NCHC title last night. Their head coach is a guy named Pat Furschweiler. He's from Duluth originally. He played at John Marshall. He's a Minnesota boy. And I joked with him a little bit today. I said, I knew your program would turn around when you started getting some Warroad guys on the team. He's got the Sikulski brothers there. Grant Sikulski, a real good forward, and then Hampton Sikulski, who's maybe one of the top young goalies in all of American hockey right now. You brought those guys on over the summer, and lo and behold, the Broncos win their first NCHC title, so congratulations to them and to Coach Furschweiler.
And by the way, a big event starting next Wednesday, the 1A Boys State Hockey Tournament. I know you're going to be on the road with the Wild, but year in, year out, the tourney is hard to beat. It is pure magic.
How about the Class A side? All winter, we were talking about, is it going to be Hermantown? Is it going to be Cloquet? Is it going to be Warroad? Who's the team to beat? All three of those teams are going to be sitting at home watching it on TV. It just shows you again, the section tournament, just how fantastic those games are.
Last night, two open spots in the 2A tournament. Last section finals at Aldrich, 4AA to overtime. Stillwater in two overtimes beats Hill Murray at packed Aldrich Arena, 4-3. And then I was at Braemar calling the section 3AA championship, and Creighton Durham Hall and St. Thomas Academy, not one but two overtimes before Will Dozian scored his second of the game on a rebound to win it late in the second overtime. And the Cadets, after 2 years in a row losing to Creighton Durham Hall in the section final, St. Thomas Academy is going to state. That's a great way to wrap up section week with two double overtime games last night.
Well, and Coach Strobel at St. Thomas Academy taking the team there in his first year in the tournament. And, you know, a little bit of controversy last year because Mike Randolph was the coach there and his contract wasn't renewed. Lo and behold, he goes to Northern Lakes, and he's got them in the state Class A tournament as well. So success everywhere. And then that Stillwater team, I mean, you talk about an all-star coaching group. Greg Zannon, their head coach, a former Minnesota Wild player. His assistant coach is Thomas Vanek, who was only the MVP of the Frozen Four 1 year and, you know, played in the NHL for how many years. So what a fun team that Stillwater bunch is.
And going into the 2A tournament, the Moorhead Spuds are your number one seed and the team to beat. And we'll visit with their head coach coming up following the weather. So we'll talk more about the tourney in a bit here on CCO. Hey, Jess, always great. Enjoy the brief homestand. And then hopefully we can do it again soon.
Sounds great, Steve. Always great to talk hockey.
All right. By the way, the Wild play the Bruins in a matinee tomorrow at the XL Energy Center before they hit the road to Seattle and Vancouver. And then they return a week from Sunday for another matinee with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Sidney Crosby and company come to town. It is 4:32. We will have the weather, and then we'll talk State Boys hockey in a moment here on News Talk 830-WCCO.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Not bad today. The wind has finally died down, and in the sun, it feels really good. Here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul, we've been in the mid-20s, so on the cool side, we're expected to hit 30. No way we're going to get there. Officially 26 right now. Tonight, clear, low near 17. Tomorrow, sunny, 44. Sunday night, low 31. Monday starts sunny. We'll hit 53. There is a chance of rain. And then on Tuesday, chance of rain and 50. Tuesday night, rain and snow mixed. It'll be windy. And then snow again Wednesday morning before it moves on out of here. And then by the end of the week, Thursday, sunny and 41. Friday, sunny 38. Next Saturday is sunny and 45. So it could be a little messy. The Wednesday morning commute could be a problem. Right now, 26. Here at News Talk, 830-WCCO. Well, the tourney is set. The 1A Wednesday at the X in St. Paul starting at 11 a.m. The number one seed, Hibbing Chisholm Victory Christian Academy. And in the 2A bracket, the number one seed is the Moorhead Spuds. And John Ammerman, their head coach, joins us. And, John, good to visit with you. Congrats on a great year.
Hey, thanks. We're obviously excited about the next week. It's something we've been looking forward to, and we're looking forward to getting down there this week in a couple of days.
Now, your team and all the teams at Moorhead, no stranger to the cities, because you guys make a lot of trips down 94 to the cities for games, whatever the sport. So you're used to coming this way.
Yeah, and some were really lucky just with where we're at in terms of relation to, you know, most of our schools up north, the same size, are about 2.5 hours away, and you go about an extra half an hour and down 94 and you're in the city. So we're well-versed in travel, and our guys are used to it, and it's an advantage we think we have, and it's something that will prepare us, hopefully, for this next week.
You know, and John, you come out of the gate, you get beat by Wayzata at Plymouth Ice Center right around Thanksgiving. Then you come back and beat a very good Edina team. Did you feel like going into this season that you had a really special group and could have a great year?
Yeah, a lot of the pieces were in place, and we returned almost our entire team from a year ago. 2 years ago, or at least last year, we're really disappointed with our finish, just in the way it went. And our guys did a great job in the off season in preparing and taking it upon themselves to have a not only a great start to the season, but really leading up to it. And it's paid off for them. You know, they put in a ton of work. And despite that early setback, they went on a bit of a run throughout the year. And we finished extremely well. And hopefully it's prepared us here for the next three games.
Yeah, dominant run in that Section 8 tournament with wins over Brainerd, 13-1, Elk River Zimmerman, 4-1, and then in the championship, 8-1. They open the tournament against Lakeville South on Thursday in the 6 o'clock game. Once again, Moorhead Spuds head coach John Ammerman joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. And just a great tradition, and it's so meaningful getting through sections, winning that section title game, and have a chance. The banquet, everybody gets announced on ice before that quarterfinal game. It's really a cool experience.
Absolutely, and we've been fortunate in Moorhead to be a part of it quite a bit, but every year is special because it's a new group of kids, and we have a couple that had the opportunity as sophomores, but really, despite our community being down there a number of times, the majority of our guys are new to it from the player experience. But like you mentioned, obviously something a lot of them have dreamed about, right? Something they've watched a few other Moorhead teams get to be a part of, and now it's their turn. So guys are excited. Their families are obviously fired up. And I know alumni, not only throughout the state, but throughout the country, are excited to watch us here in the next coming days.
You know, and John, when you look at the season and all the games and when things kind of crank up and get started around Thanksgiving, late in the year, your team played Hill Murray over at Aldrich, a legendary barn, one of the oldest indoor rinks here in the Twin Cities, and you play that wild game. Hill Murray wins it 8-7. I'm sure as a coach you didn't want to see 15 goals scored and lose the game. But that's a regular season game that I bumped into people who just said, did you hear about that game? What a wild game that was at Aldrich.
Yeah, and we thought it was kind of the perfect storm for us. Obviously, as a coach, you know, disappointed in the way that it turned out. We, in the third period, had a lead and kind of let it slip away, but the atmosphere, the type of game, obviously the time of year, we thought it was a really good setup for playoffs. And Moorhead and Hill Murray have been playing the last game of the regular season now for a couple of decades, and it's just been the perfect primer for playoff-type hockey. Obviously, they're a season program, and Coach Lechner does an outstanding job, and We thought the timing of that loss, you know, albeit, you know, a loss, it did a great job of exposing some of the things that we need to work on, and we were able to go back and watch and look and hopefully learn from it and really key in on a couple of areas that we didn't even know that we needed to take a look at. So a great game, but hopefully a great learning experience for our kids. And some of our coaches have really really used here in the last couple of weeks to pay attention to a few details going into the tournament.
And you can't get it done without great goaltending, and you've got a good one.
Absolutely. Charlie Stengem, just a great story. A kid that had a ton of success in youth hockey and then had to wait his turn. He had an older goaltender in Kai Weigel that was a multiple-year starter, and Chuck waited his turn. He didn't pout. He didn't leave. He didn't think about any of the negatives. He used it as an opportunity to learn and to work, and now he's really taken advantage of it in his senior year, and he's had an outstanding year and really been a calming presence for us. And really just a great story for high school hockey. He's a multi-sport athlete. He's somebody that's really well respected in the school, a great student, and he's somebody we're lucky enough to have on our back end.
Well, and you've got to feel good about that as a coach, those stories, those kids that hang in there and make the most of their opportunity when it comes.
Absolutely, and he's not the only one, right? We have a number of kids that have had opportunities to maybe go and play elsewhere, but an extremely tight-knit group and one that wanted to do it together, and it's been fun to watch them compete, and now this is really what they were all hopefully waiting for, and now it's just a waiting game for the next couple of days.
John Ammerman joining us, head coach, number one seed, Moorhead Spuds. The tourney starts Wednesday with 1A, and of course they're the number one seed in the 2A tournament starting Thursday at 11 a.m. on Channel 45. Got to talk about the high-end scoring, Mason Kraft. What a year, 37 goals, 47 assists to this point. That's just an incredible season. And right behind him, Zach Zimmerman, 28 goals, 42 assists. That's incredible.
Yeah, and extremely dynamic from the drop of the puck this year. Both of them had great years last year, but they've really taken their game to a whole different level. Zach Zimmerman was a freshman last year. This year as a sophomore, really doubled down on what he was doing in terms of his production. And Mason Kraft is at a historical pace for a Moorhead Spud. He's eyeing in on the all-time or the single-season scoring record here. And if all things kind of stay consistent, he'll probably break it in the next week. But Mason is a great example of somebody that really got to work in the off season and transformed who he was and what he had to work with. He has a great mind for the game and a great vision and a great feel for it. They've been extremely dynamic, and it doesn't stop at those two. Throughout the year, we've had a couple of guys that have really picked up where they left off last year and grown. And Brooks Cullen has had an outstanding year. Tyden Bergeson has backed up what he did as a sophomore last year. Carver Hasbargen and a couple of others have really stepped up, and it's been fun to watch them, have success. And our team has been very good with the puck, and hopefully that continues here. But obviously, the field is an exciting one. There's a number of first time entries and a couple of people that haven't been there for a while. So our hands are going to be full, but we're really excited about the team we're bringing down there.
Well, everybody loves the tourney, and John, once again, congrats on a great year in the number one seat.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having us on, and we look forward to making the trek down 94 here in a couple of days.
All right, there he is, John Ammerman, number one seed, Moorhead Spuds. What a year they've had. Joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Quick look at the bracket. We'll start with 2A on Thursday, since we talked about the number one seed there. Tourney starts at 11 a.m. Thursday. Number 7 Andover, they win Section 7. They beat the number one seed Rock Ridge up at Amsoil. They'll take on the number two seed Stillwater Ponies. They knocked off Hill Murray in two overtimes at Aldrich last night. The 1 o'clock game, Shakopee against St. Thomas Academy. And the Sabres win always competitive sections 2, and the Cadets beat Creighton-Durham Hall in 2 overtimes in a packed barn at Braemar last night. 6 o'clock game, number 1 Moorhead, number 8 Lakeville South. Lakeville won the Battle of Lakeville's down in Rochester earlier in the week to win Section 1. And then the nightcap, number 4 Rogers, they hold off Champlain Park in the Section 5 final. And Edina's back. The defending champ Hornets are the number 5 seed in this year's tournament, and they'll play the nightcap. That'll get started 8:30, 8:45 or so is my guess. Now, going back to Wednesday in the 1A tournament, at 11 a.m., Matamidi takes on St. Cloud Cathedral. St. Cloud Cathedral, the number 2 seed. Then at 1, the number 3 Northfield against the number 6 Orono. In the night session at 6, number 1 Hibbing Chisholm against the number 8 Laverne. And then in the nightcap, number 4 East Grand Forks takes on Northern Lakes. And once again, that one will get started about 8:30 or 8:45 on Wednesday night. State Wrestling Tournament coming up. We will talk about that following the news and weather at 5 with John Millay from the XL Energy Center. It's Championship Saturday. Kevin Lynch will join us later in the program. Talk about the Timberwolves. They're struggling right now. Ant got suspended and more. Around the corner, President Trump plans to pardon the late Pete Rose. We'll have that story in a moment here on News Talk. 830 WCCO. 7 minutes now in front of 5. And as you know, I'm leery of delving into political things. And this isn't really political. But the President of the United States, Donald Trump, came out and has waded into a sports matter that has been argued about on the radio and in newspapers and online and whatever for a long, long time, and that is the subject of Pete Rose. Now, the late Pete Rose, all-time hit king in Major League Baseball, his playing credentials are really, on some level, without peer. It's what he did off the field, including gambling on baseball, that got him banned from the game. And as a result, with the ban, not eligible for the Hall of Fame, even though during his playing career amassed Hall of Fame credentials. And I am one of those who have followed the grand game since I was a kid. And I agree. You get into this game, you sign a contract, even in the minor leagues, what is the cardinal sin? You cannot bet on baseball. This goes all the way back to the Black Sox scandals. Are the Black Sox scandal 100 years? Watch a film, 8 Men Out. It's a very underrated sports movie. And it kind of analyzes the whole situation. And the reserve clause and the owners and what led these guys to ultimately throw the World Series. It opened the door for Judge Landis to be the first commissioner of baseball. But what they did do is lay down the law. You cannot gamble on baseball. Pete knew that. And he did anyway. Now, people are trying to split hairs and say, well, he never bet against his own team. And that wasn't the rule. Well, nevertheless, President Donald Trump said Friday that he would pardon baseball great Pete Rose and criticize Major League Baseball for barring the all-time hit leader from the Sports Hall of Fame for gambling. Of course, we know Pete Rose died last year at the age of 83 and was banned for baseball from life. Now, no one's sure what he's pardoning Rose for, because while he indeed was convicted of tax evasion years ago, they're not exactly sure. President Trump can't wave a wand and force them to put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. But there it is. It is out there that President Trump, And the stories, I said, Trump did not say what the pardon would cover. Rose served 5 months in prison after pleading guilty to tax evasion charges way back in 1990. Lindsay, you're a sports fan. I'm a sports fan.
Mm-hmm.
This is one where there's just no gray area for me. He committed the cardinal sin. He bet on baseball. He admitted to it. Sorry. I mean, this goes back to Shoeless Joe Jackson, who had a Hall of Fame caliber career and is still banned from baseball. And he's been dead for decades and decades and decades. I don't know.
Yeah, there's just some stuff you don't come back from. And I think those goalposts get moved a lot in a lot of different arenas when it comes to breaking those rules. And baseball has that type of, I don't know, austerity to it that you would think that this would be carried out. But we know that, I'm not as afraid as you are to wade into politics. But I'm glad that President Trump got on top of this, because there's not like there's anything else going on. And that ultimately he's going to take care of his people. And so... What this does to Pete Rose's legacy, I'm not sure. But I don't
think it changes.
I don't think so either. So I guess it's just an empty gesture in a way. But whatever.
His on-field greatness is unquestioned, but he committed the cardinal.
It's just
kind of like if you're going to start to say, well, now the steroid era gets a whole lot more complicated, in my opinion, because baseball probably knew players, position players, hitters, pitchers were doing that stuff. It gets a little weird for me. We have the news and weather in a moment.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.